English that we can understand. And you know, you stop and think about it. Can you even imagine not having a Bible in our language? I can't even imagine that. But there are people around the world that don't. Maybe they have large portions of it, but they don't have the whole thing. And I'm thankful for those that are working to translate and have worked to translate into different languages all over the world. That's a blessing. But I'm going to start. I'm going to do a little intro. Then we'll get to Deuteronomy 31, verse 9. In a few minutes, but I want to start off with prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for its truth. And Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight, Lord, to learn something, Lord, and to draw closer to you and to lean on you. And Lord, I'm thankful for your word. And Lord, I ask that it would just open up our ears and our hearts tonight to how special it is. And Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the children, and for the parents and grandparents and everyone else that you've brought in together. And Lord, I pray that you'd use me to preach tonight, and Lord, that you would bless everything that happens here as you already have. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
So we know a few things about the Bible. You know, whenever I think about it, I like to remind myself, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, that tells us right there, the Bible is completely inspired by God and it's profitable for us in every stage of life, and it is complete. It is a complete guide for everything that we need in our lives. And then the other verse I like to remind myself is Psalms 12, 6 and 7. Says this, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. You know, and that tells us those verses in Psalms 12 says that the Bible is completely pure. It's free from any error. It's free from any contradiction. And not only that, but verse 7 says that the Lord shall keep and preserve his pure words for every single generation. That tells us that even in our generation today, we have got a complete copy of the words that were inspired by God for men to write down, to copy and to translate. And what we have today in this generation is that pure, preserved word, not because of what men tried to do. You know, people will they'll say, well, the Bible can't be error-free because men were involved. And I would say this, if it were up to men to keep the word pure and preserved, we'd be in trouble today. We couldn't trust it for them to keep it pure every generation. But Psalm 12 doesn't say that that the men will keep them pure and preserved. It says that thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So I'm glad that God promised that he would do this in spite of what men would try to do. You realize men try to tear down the Bible, try to get rid of it, try to change it and everything else. That's been happening since the beginning and will never stop happening. But I'm glad that it is completely pure. But one of the questions to think about tonight is, how did the Bible begin? How did we get to where what we have today? And before Moses' day, the truths of God, the different stories and everything, they were passed down orally to each generation. They would tell from one generation, they would tell the next, they would retell the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the problem is, like I said, if it's a story told from one person to the other, you know, you've played that game before, the telephone game. You start off and you're saying one thing at the beginning, by the time you get to the other end, things have totally changed. So how, again, how could it stay pure? How could everything stay pure for several thousand years? It's because of the Lord. That's him. It's a miracle that God was able to keep it, preserve it, and keep it pure from one generation to the next. And it is still a miracle today that he's still been able to do that. Like I said, the attack on the Bible is growing and growing each and every day. I'm glad the Lord has kept it. But one thing, the reason I want us to turn to Deuteronomy 31:9 is because at the end of Moses' life, he begins to give instructions to the people early in chapter 31. Then he gives instructions to Joshua, and then he starts to give instructions to the priests. So let's turn there. Deuteronomy 31:9 says, "And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of the tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which may not have known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it." So remember, at this time, Moses is about 120 years old. He is told by the Lord he is not going to be entering into the promised land. Remember that. Joshua is going to be the one that leads the people. So as he's giving these final instructions in these last chapters of Deuteronomy, before he dies and passes the torch to Joshua, we see something happen. Here in Deuteronomy 31:9, the Lord tells him to write down the entire law. That's what it says right there. Moses wrote this law, so this is the first five books of the Bible Moses was writing out. And if you stop and thought about it, I was looking at a website today of people. There are actually people that write out the entire Bible, and they say it takes about 600 hours to write out the entire Bible. So if you do that about an hour a day, if you do that, it's going to take you about three and a half years, somewhere in there. If you do a half hour, it takes about 6.5 years, somewhere in there, depending on your speed and everything else. So we know it probably would have taken Moses the equivalent of several months to do this. And what happened is when he had this completed, remember before this, we had the oral law. It was passed down from generation to generation. Now we have a copy of it all written down, and Moses gave it to the priests, who were the teachers of the law. So this would have been a precious copy that they have. This is the first copy of the whole law coming together at this point. But we see in verse 10, Moses didn't just give them a copy of this law just to set in the tabernacle and collect dust and be a museum piece. Verse 10 says, "And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of the tabernacles." So every 7 years, this time when the debts would be released, they'd have the feast of the tabernacles. Every 7 years, look at verse 11, "When all Israel's come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger which is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law." So every seventh year, they were gathering everybody together, every single person, not just the men, but the women, the children, the strangers. And it says that they may hear the word of God. Every 7 years, they were to take out that copy and they were to make sure that every single bit of it was read out loud for people to hear. And why is it important that they may hear the word of God? Romans 10:17. "So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God." That's how you get faith. That's how you, when we are sharing the gospel with somebody, we are telling what God's word says, and that's what opens up the door so that they can respond by faith. So after they heard, they would learn. And you know what this reminds me is, you can stop and you can start to think, well, what would this look like? What would it look like in practice? Well, we actually know what it would look like from Nehemiah chapter 8. "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spoke unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation of both men and women, all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a pulpit of wood, which he made for the purpose. Skip down to verse 7. The Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. I love that passage in Nehemiah. They gathered everybody together, and those teachers, whether they were Levites or whether they were later Ezra, some of the prophets did this as well. They would take that whole copy of the law. They'd stand up before the people, and that they would say it distinctly and plainly. They'd read it to the people. You know what that tells me? They weren't up here to try to make it cute or make it confusing or anything else. They were just telling people what God's word says in a way that they could understand it. And it says, and God it gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. See, they would not only would they read it, but they would explain it and teach it to the people. And I'll tell you what, you think of how many thousands of years later we are to today, and we are still doing the same thing. We've got men standing up in a raised platform by a pulpit of wood, reading what thus saith the word of God. And I pray that when I get up here, it's not to make myself look good, not for me to boast, not for it to be so confusing that it goes over anybody's head, but that we just plainly explain what God's word says. So when it's plainly explained, we can then plainly apply it and plainly live by it and grow together by faith. That's the goal. That's the purpose we have today. Whenever we're preaching or teaching the Bible, is to make it understandable, to help build our faith and live a life that is pleasing to God, and that we can fear the Lord. And that starts with obeying God. You see, all those things together. But what's sad is you think about this in the Bible. This was supposed to happen over and over again, that they would read the entire law of Moses. And this example in Nehemiah chapter 8 was about 1,000 years after Moses wrote it out. 1,000 years later, just about almost exactly 1,000 years later, after he writes it, we have the example. Now, there's a couple other times where the Bible talks about it, very few, which tells me something. They didn't do it every time God told them to, right? If they would have done it every 7 years, in that 1,000 years between Moses writing it out in Nehemiah chapter 8, they would have done it over 140 times. And the Bible wouldn't be pointing out the different times they did it, because it would be common. You see what I'm saying? They were supposed to do this, but they didn't. God gave instruction, and it was to help them. But not only that, I noticed something. That the Bible, it was meant to be read, and it was meant so that they would understand it, and it was meant so they could gather around and they could learn to fear the Lord and hear and to be obedient and everything else. But one of the things else that I noticed is about the children. It also mentions the children several times. And if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5, where Moses is teaching them back, remember that's the oral law back before chapter 31, he's teaching them the oral law. In chapter 5, and then in chapter 6, he gives instructions to the parents. And he says this, Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." What that's saying right there is, it is saying to parents, no matter where you're at, to teach your children about God's word. And you realize you can't, many times we can't walk around with the Bible in hand and start right here and start digging in. But I'll tell you what you can do is, when these opportunities arise, you can teach them. You know, maybe they see something in creation and you can remind them that it was God that created it, not we ourselves. Or you know, they talking about respecting and talking about different things, you can teach lessons. And that's what the Bible was saying, that they needed to teach them, giving truth to their children in everyday life. And realize that's a powerful teacher. A lot of times those things are what they grasp on. Those things are what they hold on to, especially at a really young age. But then why, I started to wonder why in Deuteronomy 31:13, It said this. Remember, Moses, now that he's written it out, now that he's telling him to read it every 7 years, the whole thing, look at Deuteronomy 31:13, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land, whether ye go over Jordan to possess it. You know what that tells me? I stopped and I thought, that verse 13 shouldn't even be there, right? It's saying, remember Moses is saying, I want you to do this every 7 years. Take that law out, read the entire thing for men, women, children, strangers, everyone to hear it so they can hear what God's word has to say, so they can learn from it, hear from it, learn from it, obey it, fear the Lord and all these things. And now he's saying why, one of the reasons why is for the children. But now wait a second. The children, what did he say? Which have not known anything. He's saying there are children that don't know anything about the Lord. They need to hear it.
Yeah.
Right? That's what he's saying. But that tells me if there's a Deuteronomy 31:13, that means there were parents that weren't obeying Deuteronomy 6:6-7, where they were supposed to be diligently teaching them God's word when they're sitting in the house and when they're walking by the way, when they're lying down and when they're rising up. There shouldn't be any need for that. But you know what? We look around in our church a lot of times. What do we see? We see grandparents bringing children. We see aunts and uncles. We see kids' friends coming along with them. Their parents should be teaching them about the Lord. Their parents should be instructing them and bringing them to God's house, but they're not. But aren't you glad that God had a provision? And he said, even though those parents were not Christians, even though, well, at this time they weren't following God, they weren't doing what God called them to do. And then today we've got parents that aren't Christians that don't want anything to do with God. But aren't you glad that God still cares about the children and he has set it up? That's why it's so important for us to have Sunday school. That's why it's so important for us to have junior church and vacation Bible school, is because why? For that verse 13 right there, the children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God in everyday life. And isn't that exciting when we've had vacation Bible school? I think about every year we've had it, we've had kids saved. That's exciting because God is still moving. But God said, even those ones, I don't want them left out. What a God. What a merciful God. That's why it's so important. But you know what? The Bible works not just for children, but it works for adults as well. But I'm so glad that even a child can learn and understand from God's word. But it made me to think. Remember I said the Bible, it started out orally and then Moses wrote it down. And then from that point, they had a copy of it. But if God instructed Moses to tell the people every 7 years you need to read it, and really it's at least every 7 years, you need to read the whole law, which remember that was their entire Bible at the time, that it made me think, is it any less important for us to get into the entire Bible and get all the way through it at least once every 7 years? I think it's just as important. Why? So as us parents, we can teach our children, right? That's what Deuteronomy was talking about. They needed to learn it themselves and then pass it down to the children. But you know what? I began to think about if you were alive in that day and they did that the first time and you were just blessed about it and thinking about it, you would have to wait another 7 years to hear it again. Can you imagine having to wait that long? Now, you would get snippets throughout the time from the teachers and everything else, but you would only get that one opportunity. And you think about your life, if you lived to 70, you would have only gotten to hear it 10 times if they were obedient and did it. But we saw they probably weren't always obedient to do this. And it made me think, how blessed are we today that we have the entire thing? We have it right at our fingertips. We've got it, and we can access the Bible many different ways. We don't have to wait 7 years to hear it again. We don't have to wait for someone to read it out loud. We can get into it ourselves. So it made me think about it. How important it is. And it doesn't matter if you're reading through it or even you can listen through it with the apps and different things. We need to get into the Bible and get all the way through it and continue to put it into our lives, so that way we can put it into practice. We can fear the Lord. We can trust God. We can do all of these things that we're called to do. We've got a greater responsibility today to be in God's Word every single day. And it blesses me to think about. We have access. Remember, they kept that copy in the tabernacle. They kept it really for safekeeping. And you think about just having that one copy at first. But I'm glad. See, you would have thought the devil would have been able to destroy it and completely get rid of it. How easy would that be, right? Just get rid of one copy. But the Lord said, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to preserve it. And it's going to be pure to every single generation. That's why we can stand up right here and think about all the thousands of years between Moses and today. And here we've got it right here. And let me tell you something. The same thing that they read, the same inspired word that they read out loud, you and I can do the same thing. What a blessing. That's the beginning of the Bible. That's the beginning right there. And it's a blessing to think that it is, all of it is given for inspiration. All of it is pure. All of it's error-free. And all of it is for our good and for our learning and for our instruction. And I say, praise God. And I'll tell you what, here's a challenge. If you've never read through the Bible, you need to read through it. And you can get through it. I'm telling you, it seems real daunting the first time. But once you get through it once, just start over again. And you can keep on doing it. I'm on track Christmas Day to finish this next time. And I'm hoping to maybe get it done a little sooner than that. But it doesn't always happen. But just get in there, and there's... You can find plans on the internet. You can print out a sheet and put it in your Bible. You can use an app. You can use all kinds of different things. But the big thing is to just get into it and do it each time. Now, if you've done it before, let me ask you this question. If it's once every 7 years, take your age, divide by seven. Have you done it that many times? And if not, you can catch up. You can catch up. I say challenge. Let's challenge one another. Now remember, they were writing it out. We're just reading it. But I'll tell you, God's Word, every time we get in it, it'll give us something for us. So I'm going to ask everyone to stand tonight.